The Salvation Series, Part 2, To Be Saved. Be it known to you all, and to all the people of Israel, that in the name of Yeshua, the Messiah of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom Yahweh raised from the dead, in him does this man stand here before you whole. He is the stone which was regarded as worthless by you, the builders, which has become the head of the corner. There is salvation in none other, for neither is there any other name under heaven that is given among men by which we must be saved. Acts 4:10-2. Christian wrote, after reading your recent article, Scriptural Salvation, I looked into the word salvation in the New Testament, using the John 4:22 verse as my basis, since that's the verse you quote. And I know Peter would have known how to make it clear to the people around him as to whom he is referring every time. So why in Acts 4:10-12, if salvation is found in Yahweh's name alone, then why would Peter say this? I know that Yahweh is the one true God, and I'm not looking at the Trinity because I don't believe it. But what does he mean, because he clearly states by the name of Yeshua, the Messiah? In order to understand what these Hebrew authors were actually trying to convey, we must first understand the context they were speaking from. We must always consider the context the words are presented in, the context of the Hebrew perspective they are presented from, and most importantly, the audience they were presented to. In the exchange taking place in Acts 4, the context begins with verse 1, which says that the Sadducees became incensed because Peter and John were proclaiming that in Yeshua is found the resurrection of the dead, which the Sadducees looked upon as meaning having an afterlife. But this is not what the apostles were proclaiming. The Sadducees were elitists who wanted to maintain the priestly caste, but they were also liberal in their willingness to incorporate Hellenism into their lives, something the Pharisees opposed. The Sadducees rejected the idea of the oral law, the Talmud, and insisted on a literal interpretation of the written law, the Torah. Consequently, they did not believe in an afterlife, since it is not mentioned in the Torah. Thus, they were insistent that the apostles be dealt with according to Torah, and were taking them before the elders and rulers of the temple for that purpose. It was in this setting before the council that Peter quotes Psalm 118:22 and Isaiah 28:16 as the validation of their claim that Yeshua, having been raised from the dead by Yahweh, is the proper authority through which the source of life passes. We have to ask ourselves, what does it mean to be saved in a real-world context? In order to understand the Hebrew perspective these words were spoken from, we have to first distance ourselves from the Christian theology of salvation, which means to obtain an afterlife in a place called heaven. The Sadducees were right that an afterlife is not mentioned in Torah. Christianity has assumed such a position under the influence of the same Hellenistic thought as the Sadducees, but by divorcing itself from Torah has produced an opposite effect. So understanding how these Hebrew authors perceive being saved is essential in keeping us from falling into the same error. Without understanding what the word saved actually means, the question, "Are you saved?" doesn't make much sense. Saved from what? To be saved, or to save, in the Greek is sozo, and means to rescue, to save one suffering from disease, to make well, heal, restore to health. There's nothing in this definition concerning a place called heaven. It is translated in John 12:47 as save, in Romans 10:9 as saved, we could all answer the question if it was, did someone rescue you from death? That is a yes or no question. If you were drowning and someone pulled you out of the water, you would know right away that you had been saved, right now, in the here and now. Yeshua himself said the kingdom of heaven is among us right now. And that's in Luke 17. The context of what is being presented in Acts 4 is preceded by Acts 3:16 of the lame man being healed in the presence of many witnesses. The expression "in the name of" was coined from the Hebrew purification ritual surrounding the mikveh, which was co-opted by Christianity under the guise of water baptism. Usually, a minimum of 3 witnesses were to observe the purifying ritual of self-immersion to be certain that the worshiper had been completely submerged in the water. This witnessing factor was based on the Hebraic idea that every matter is established in the presence of 2 or 3 witnesses in Deuteronomy 17:6 and Matthew 18:16. Witnesses were so important that those who immersed themselves were often said to have been immersed in the name of or under the authority of the witnesses. Thus, those being immersed along the Jordan were said to have been immersed under John in Acts 19:3, just as the Israelites had been immersed under Moses at the Red Sea in 1 Corinthians 10:2. In Acts 4, the apostles were letting it be known to the scribes and elders they were brought before, who understood what this phrasing meant, that in the name of Yeshua HaMashiach has this man been made strong. The English word translated as salvation in this verse comes from the Greek word soteria, which is a derivative of this same Greek word sozo. Soteria means presentation, safety, salvation, deliverance from the molestation of enemies. So that it can be said, is there any other name by which we are saved, sozo? It is only through the name of Yeshua that this man has been given perfect health in the presence of you all. The lame man was saved by being restored to health, was healed in the here and now. This Greek word sozo is also translated in Acts 2:40 as the English "save yourselves." Notice that it is the faith in Yahweh through Yeshua that gave this man his health. Yeshua was the conduit through which the source of life, who is Yahweh, or salvation, passed. Expressly stated in Acts 4:10 that it was Yahweh, the source of life, who raised Yeshua from the dead. Yeshua did not have the power to raise himself. The context of the day was not whether any of these men believed in Yahweh or not, but if these events were convincing enough to support the assertion that Yeshua was the promised Messiah, the kinsman redeemer sent to restore Yahweh's kingdom to his family. It is in the authority of Yeshua given to his disciples, or in the name of, that they are able to manifest life and engage others with it. Anything that separates us from the source of life is death. It is from this Hebraic understanding that Shaul, the Hebrew apostle Paul, is able to say in Romans 8:2 that the law of the Spirit of life, demonstrated through Yeshua HaMashiach, the Messiah, has set you free from the law of sin and death. And Yeshua says it is in his Father's words that allow us to remain in the presence of Yahweh, where we find rest and are saved, healed. Salvation is not an admission ticket to a place called heaven. If Yeshua is going to save his people from their sins, he will have to rescue them out of the death of separation from their rightful inheritance and the misery that was bound to follow. Salvation has nothing to do with heaven. It is all about staying alive. If you thought you were saved in order to get a heavenly gate pass, you missed the point. To be saved means a rescue of people who are in deep, deep trouble. They are not just drowning, but are already dead from their separation from the source of life. Unless Yahweh shows up with life, they will remain dead. They need salvation because they need to live again. The purpose of Yeshua was to restore the relationship of Yahweh's family as it was in the beginning. These Hebrews believed Malachi 4:1 that says if ever there was a time when Torah is not being manifested, the earth will melt away with a fervent heat. Scripturally, evildoers are those who do not keep the words of Yahweh. That saying should ring familiar to those who study the Messianic writings, as there is a similar statement in 2 Peter 3:10 through 13, that there will be a time when the earth melts away with a fervent heat. From a scriptural point of view, that simply means that there will be no more Torah on the earth, and that it is Torah, the word of Yahweh, that is keeping all things together. And this brings to mind Colossians 1:17, where it says that Yeshua is before all, from the Greek pro, which is a primary preposition meaning for, in other words, in front of, and that through Yeshua all things hold together or has cohesion through, as in a conduit, not initiated by his own hand. In Yeshua abides the word of Yahweh, manifest in his life, and it is through the word of Yahweh that all things hold together or have cohesion. So, does this mean we must convert to the man-made religion of Judaism in order to receive salvation? No. Shaul makes this point clear in his letter to the faithful in Galatia, but he is only repeating what was written in the Tanakh concerning any who would come to this Elohim of Israel in Isaiah 56:6 through 8. Whoever comes to him, however, must receive him for who he says he is, the Elohim of Israel, not the God of mankind. Notice that verse pointedly states that those wishing to join themselves to Yahweh must keep his Sabbath, not to profane it. In the same regard, Yeshua was saying to the Gentile woman at the well that those seeking the source of salvation will find that it comes from a relationship, an intimacy, and a connection with this particular Hebrew Elohim of Israel, the source of life. In Romans 8:14 through 17 and Ephesians 2:18 through 22. The Hebrew word for life comes from the root word chaya, which means to live, have life, sustain life, live prosperously, be quickened, be alive, be restored to health, from where the Greek sozo explored earlier takes its meaning. But as far back as Numbers 31:15, that same Hebrew word chaya is also translated as saved. To be saved is to have life. Yeshua said to have life is to keep the words of the Father. As seen earlier, the Greek word for salvation in John 4:22 is soteria, meaning deliverance from molestation. Deliverance also is used in the Hebrew primarily as teshua, which means salvation, deliverance. It is used in 1 Chronicles 11:14 as deliverance, and in 2 Chronicles 6:41 and Psalm 37:39 as salvation. Thus, we see that the definitions for both salvation and deliverance are interchangeable in either language. To be delivered is salvation. To be saved is real deliverance that truly sets us free from the physical ruin of bondages. When we are saved, we can expect the robust nature of life to be evident within our physical bodies, and the demons of darkness that have bitten us will be dispelled because of the power found in the presence of His Spirit. This is the life Yeshua spoke of. So why is it that real healing and deliverance are not evidently seen among the westernized religion of Christianity when a person is supposedly saved? Could it be that by separating themselves from the words found in the original writings, they have become separated from the instructions contained in those words that allow us to remain in the presence of the source of life? Something tangibly manifested itself to those Hebrews assembled on Yom Shavuot, the day of Pentecost, that caused 3,000 to immediately embrace what they were witnessing, and a few days later another 5,000. And there were no Gentiles present during this occurrence. It wasn't solely because of Peter's preaching. Before their eyes, they witnessed an extraordinary manifestation of restoration in the physical lives of those 120 who had waited on Yeshua as he had instructed. As these few were being filled with the breath of life, so extraordinary was this occurrence in the physical that it created a desire in those watching to want some of that. If this salvation were to be manifest in our bodies as true healing, why would we find it necessary to embrace the other medical pole of snakes instead of the one Moses lifted up and Yeshua likened himself to in John 3? Could it be that we have somehow separated ourselves from the source of that life by not knowing Yahweh just for who he says he is in his words, and thus, by the theological tradition men would have us adhere to, have negated, made void, brought to none effect the power found in the Holy One of Israel? This is not theology being spoken of here. This is life. And the source of that life, Scripture tells us, is only found in one place, Yahweh, with Yeshua as the conduit for that life. That's in Genesis 2, 7 through 8, 1 John 5, 6 through 12. Teacher, what good deed must I do to have eternal life? And Yeshua said to him, if you would enter life, keep the commandments. The young man said to him, which ones? And Yeshua said, you shall not murder, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, honor your father and mother, and love your neighbor as yourself. Matthew 19, 16 through 19.